picture behind me, I'll loosely tie it into the message, but I figure it was Halloween. It was last week. It's my grandkids. I just think they're so stinking cute that I just... But today we're going to be talking about motives. If you remember from the scripture, the main scripture, we are going to be talking about motives. So she sent me these pictures, trick-or-treat night, and I'm like, what motivated them to go out and buy the costumes and take all the time? And I don't even know what my dad and mom were doing on trick-or-treat night. I guess they were, they were running me around, but they sure weren't wearing any costumes, I can tell you that. So I think it's awesome, bless them, and again, it's all about motives is what we're going to be talking about today. Motivation, motives. Is it just strictly the love of the kids and you do it for the kids? That's probably most of it, I think. Sometimes I think it's reliving your youth, your childhood. Maybe you didn't dress up like you wanted to, and now you can dress up like however you want. So there you go. Thank you, Bill, for lifting me up. I do believe in the power of prayer. I don't know if it's going to help me this morning, but I do appreciate that. Thank you. I am required, I'm required to give a slight disclaimer. I may say something that's incorrect this morning. I don't do it intentionally. So I do have to say that I do share my opinions, my thoughts. They might be wrong. I don't know. I can't guarantee you they're going to be right. So please, don't take it as gospel. There's only one gospel. And if you need to refer to the gospel after I say something you want to check on, I encourage that. I do try to pass off that what I say around my house is gospel, but Denise has not yet bought into that and probably never will, which is smart on her part. But some definitions, just so we get started here on the right track and what we're going to be talking about this morning. I don't have them memorized. So motives, motivate, motivation, reason for doing something, especially one that is hidden or not obvious. Keep that part in mind about being hidden, the not obvious motives. Provide with a motive. So what motivated that person? What was given to them that made them do what they did? And we're going to talk about good and bad. It's not just about the good, it's not just about the bad. And motivation, those are the reasons one has for acting in a particular way. One of the definitions I looked up actually referenced in the definition, I think it was Merriam-Webster, that religion was used as a motivation for many wars. Still is today. I just always appreciate in our society today when we still, you know, see religion mentioned. Now, that was not in a positive light necessarily, but there's a case of, if you can bring the main scripture back up, Andrew, if it's not too much trouble. There's a case where, to this day, religion is used as a motivating factor in things that we see in our world today that are not right. There were times when, obviously, when it was dictated by God, many references to conflicts in the Bible, but that was God that was dictating that. That was not some irrelevant individual, in my opinion, that was trying to further their own plans, their own means. It's not, just what we call the outlier religions, maybe. It's also the Christian religion that sometimes goes this direction and uses religion as a motivating factor. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. So our motives are not always the correct motives. We see a lot of things in our society today, recent tragedy where many people lost their lives. Potentially because of a hatred of someone practicing their religious beliefs. Not 100% sure of that. I don't know. It's just an assumption on my part. What motivated that person? He obviously had not handed himself over to the Lord. If he would have, the Lord would have directed him the direction he should take. and that would not have been that direction. We see a lot of people probably in life today when we look at all these tragedies where we wonder what does motivate them though. Is it because they're too susceptible to evil? Because the Lord's not a part of their life? Is it make it that much easier for evil to step in and direct them and motivate them in a different direction, in the wrong direction? It may not be that simple. If it were, we'd probably be a lot better off, but I think that's something we're going to talk about when we look at some of the other scripture, where we as Christians, can we affect potentially someone we meet on the streets or someone we meet in our lives at work to prevent something like this from happening because we bring them to Christ and Christ then becomes a motivating factor in their life. I thought this was a kind of a way to inflect upon the fact that as a Christian, there's a lot of work involved. Motivation is when your dreams put on the work clothes. Talk a little bit more about why I personally struggle, and I, as always, probably something I'm talking about this morning is because of something in my life. I, in no way, shape, or form, will ever be nominated for sainthood. Again, Denise will vouch for that. I have my faults. I slide, I fall, I backtrack. It's not always perfect. One of the quotes I came across was, being a Christian is more about progression than perfection. So that made me feel a little bit better about the fact that I'm nowhere near that perfection and probably never will be. But I like to think I'm progressing in my Christian faith, and I like to think that it's part of my life. So that made me, that comforted me a little bit when I thought about it in that perspective. You know, sometimes I think we beat ourselves up too much as Christians, you know, because we think that perfection is the goal. I don't know that that's a bad thing. It's just that I don't think we should beat ourselves up over it because it's a lofty goal. And if we're progressing towards that, probably going to do some good along the way in our lives. Show of hands. Anybody have any idea who this is? One of my favorite quotes from Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, if you've ever had a chance or have not or have the opportunity to listen to him speak to an auditorium full of Apple employees, he was a CEO and co-founder, worth somewhere around $10 billion when he passed away. I didn't know him personally. We didn't hang out. From most accounts that I've read, there's books out there about his life. He was a pretty decent person. Did a lot of good, but this was one of my favorite quotes that he said. And when you read this, I actually have this taped on my console at my desk at work. Hopefully helps me be a better leader. But I thought about the management part. It's about persuading people to do things they do not want to do, while leadership is about inspiring people to do things they never thought they could. Can you fill in there under management, Satan and evil? And under leadership, Christ? How well does that fit into that quote? You know, evil gets us to do things that we should not do. But, you know, Christ, he inspires us, or he should, if he's in our life and we've accepted him, to do things maybe we not thought we never could. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about the fact that I personally think it's awful tough being a Christian some days in society. So when we get to talking about Scripture, and we talk about motives and motivation, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Look, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what your true motives are. You know, when I'm having one of those days where I'm not doing what I should be as a Christian, I ain't fooling him. I might fool the people around me, you know, but we're going to read another scripture that's going to refer to something I thought was awful odd. And I'm having a hard time with this one, but basically saying that even if it's wrong, if we're still spreading the word and sharing the gospel, it's not a bad thing. I was kind of taken aback when I found that scripture, but again, your motives as a Christian. What motivates you as a Christian? Is it as simple as, well, if I'm not a Christian and I don't do the right things, I'm not going to go to heaven? Pretty powerful motivator. And I'm not even 100% sure what my answer is, to be honest with you, what my answer should be. What should be my motivator to be a Christian? Chance at eternal life? As powerful as that is, and yes, is probably the end answer for a lot of us, I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's enough to help us to be the Christian we should be if all we're doing is kind of going through the motions, just saying, okay, if I just do this, I should get to heaven. You know, that's where I think sometimes I personally fail in my daily life as a Christian, where I'm afraid to take that harder step, that next step, when that person says that thing that I know they shouldn't be saying. You know, where I think that if I share my views and talk to them from the heart, because not because I'm trying to get into heaven, but because of Scripture and it's what I've been taught and it's what my heart tells me to do. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Man, that blew me away. I struggled with that one. But at the end of the day, the takeaway was, you're spreading my word. And you know what? Maybe your motives aren't the correct motives. Maybe what's in your heart's not right. But those 10 or 20, 30 people that you preach to, if they receive me into their lives, that's a win. You know, in the sports analogy, that's, you know, cashing the big ticket, making it to the big dance, you know. It's a win-win. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. So I felt a lot better when I read that scripture. You know, we did not come here, our motive was not to make ourselves look good, to heap praise upon ourselves. We were doing it for the right reasons. And God knows we're doing it for the right reasons because he can see into our hearts. That one made a lot more sense to me. They were not looking for riches. They were not looking for fame. They could have taken any direction they wanted to. They had the power of God behind them. You know, there's a lot of humility in that scripture right there. A lot of humility. They weren't looking for, you know, making a name for themselves. They just wanted to spread the word, teach God. When you think about motives and motivation and a Christian, does it take that little extra sometimes to bump you over the top? Not just, okay, well, I think I was good enough this week. I think I did what I was supposed to, and hopefully I'm still getting into heaven. You know, emotions come into play a lot in our lives. Emotions are a big motivator. Anger. We look at a lot of things that happen in our world today. It can simply be anger. I think sometimes we overanalyze. They often talk about whenever there is a mass shooting or some major tragedy. Why? Obviously, it helps maybe in the end game to figure out why someone did something. And hopefully, the reason we spend so much time and effort on that aspect is because going forward, we want to try to help avoid those situations. I assume so, because obviously, we can't bring those people back. We can't give them back to their families. So as Christians, what can we do is if we look at a tragedy and we say, going forward, what can I do? How can I affect anger in someone's life being a motivator for them to do something as heinous as what we saw this past week? Because, let's face it, even as a Christian, emotions are a big factor in what we do in our daily lives. I get angry. I get mad. You know, I wish it wasn't the case. In a perfect world, I know there's some people that probably do a lot better than I do. I think I do pretty good most of the time. Although, I see my wife smiling because if you ask Kendall, she'll see a side of me sometimes that, yeah. But I like to think I always have the right motivation for getting her attention. I thought about that in respect to emotions when we talk about Christianity and Christians and what we do. And I thought about it in terms of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Fear was a big factor in the Old Testament to do what you were supposed to do. At least my interpretation and the way I remember it, you know, and read my, you know, interpretation, which, again, goes back to the why we have to always be careful as Christians. The gospel is the gospel, but the gospel has been interpreted so many different ways over the years, which is another reason why that could be another talk another day. Some of the problems we have in our society today. But when we think about Old Testament, New Testament, we think about me as a child at Halloween versus, you know, my children and my grandchildren at Halloween and how we affect life and how we do things in life. And fear, at least in my life as a child, was a little bit more prevalent than I think it is in a lot of society today. Not saying my parents were mean or anything, but there was always that underlying factor of discipline. And there was a certain look that your mother or father, my mother or father at least, could give me that let me know that, yeah, I better get in check real quick. All right, some of that. You seen that look? Mom or dad? Both? Okay. But a lot's changed. You know, we had fear was a factor in the Old Testament. You know, we've been given a lot more free rein for good or bad. God said, you know what? Here's the way it should be. Here's what I'm telling you should do. If you do it, I'm going to walk along with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to be your motivation. But it's up to you. I'm not going to scare you. I'm not going to, you know, threaten you. I think about sin in the Old Testament. You know, we talked a few weeks back about stoning. What a horrible way. What a horrible way to go. You know, we think about, you know, in today's society when we talk about the death penalty and whatnot. Think about that. Whew, wow. But it was part of that life. But that's no longer part of life. So if we don't have fear, okay, you can say, I've got the fear of going to jail. I've got the fear of getting locked up. As a Christian, hopefully that's not what you're falling back on to keep you in check. As a Christian, it should be those other emotions. It should be love. You know, it should be respect. I think if we do a lot of those things in life, it'll help us to be a better Christian. It'll make being a Christian easier. Because even though we've got plenty of scripture and, you know, plenty of things that point to the fact that if we've got Christ in our life, he's going to be our motivation in life. And he'll direct us to do the right things. I think the problem is in my life, and in today's society, there's so many things around us, so many distractions, so many things that just keep trying to push us in that other direction. So I think sometimes, and one of the things I took away from this week as I got ready to stand up here this morning talking about motivation, my takeaway this week, and hopefully one of the things that, you know, you'll look at potentially as your life in a Christian, what can I do to be more motivated? What can help me on those days when I'm sliding, I'm struggling? I didn't do what I should have done, and maybe it snowballed. Maybe had I taken an extra 10 minutes to talk to that person and maybe help get them back on track, maybe overcome some anger they were dealing with in their lives. You know, I don't like to be the person that talks about the, you know, gloom and doom, but you think about the person that wakes up with a family tragedy, lost a loved one, you know, lost a job, can't pay their bills, lost their home, kids disowned them. That could be a pretty tragic end result for that person if they don't have Christ in their life. Think about if you take some time, if you see that in someone's life as a Christian, which is what we are instructed to do. It could be the difference between that person become a Christian, productive member of society, getting back on track versus somebody who decides life isn't worth it. There's nothing for me. Why should I bother? Think about it. It's a pretty powerful tool if you use it. I wish I used it more. So what drives you? Is it that emotion? I think about sometimes where in my life years ago it would have never been an issue, but sometimes I sit here depending on what we're talking about. And it doesn't have to be what's being said up here in the morning. Sometimes it's as simple as a song. For me, a lot of times it is a song. You get that tear in the corner of your eye. You would just want to yell out, amen. You know, it's okay. It really is. But that's that Holy Spirit. That's that emotion. That's that emotion that we need as Christians to drive us to be better people and to help those around us. I feel that a lot. That's why I'm talking about this today. You know, I appreciate the fact that I was given the opportunity once again, because I know that the few hours that I spent this week just thinking about motivation and motives in life has helped me. Now I just got to go out and apply them as a Christian. It's tough. It's tough. You know? If you just surrounded yourself, though, with the people that were receptive, what a waste. It's not about that. That's easy. You know? Me standing up here talking to you about Christ, well, that's a no-brainer, right? That's easy. But we have to, as Christians, remember that people are struggling around us in their lives. Find what motivates you. Give that some thought this week. If nothing else, I mean, like I said, this is strictly opinion. No right, no wrong, just me sharing some thoughts. But the one takeaway maybe is, what motivates me? It might be different on different days. Some days it might be as simple as, I don't need any motivation. I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling really Christian-like. It's easy today. Other days it may be, okay, where am I going to get this motivation? Because I really got to step in here. I got to say something. I got to do the right thing. But I'm having a hard time doing it. What can I do? What can motivate me? That was my takeaway from this week. What fires you up? I think about, again, sports, coaching. You're a Steelers fan, right? I thought it was the other way around. Oh, that's right. Dave's Bill Cowher, right? I used to watch him. If a camera would catch him, he'd get fired up, right? You'd see a spit fly out of his mouth. Not very appealing, but Bill Cowher used anger and fear and intimidation. He would just be yelling and just angry. And that was how he motivated his players. At least I remember. I'm not a Steelers fan, but I got enough of them around me that I end up watching Steelers games a lot. So, but what works for you? What works for the people around you? Can you help motivate someone? It's not just about what motivates you either. It's about what motivates the people around you. What can you do to help someone when they're having that tough day? What can you give them? What guidance can you give them? What can you tell them to help motivate them? I don't go the fear route. I don't think in most cases that's applicable here. I'd like to think we moved a lot past that, but, you know, love is a powerful tool. It's a good place to start. Pretty simple. Most of us embrace it. Most of us need it in our lives. Most of us are receptive to it. So maybe love. Maybe that's as simple as that. It's not easy being a Christian, but we have accepted that task. When you ask, do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. One scripture will tell you that, yeah, it's still a good thing. It's a positive end result. Maybe you brought somebody to Christ. I suggest, though, that God knows what's in your heart, so the end result for you may not be what you're expecting. A lot of times you won't see the rewards. You won't reap any real benefits other than knowing that you did what you were supposed to do as a Christian. And when I read this scripture, it told me that, yeah, you know what? The right motives go a lot further. Got a lot better results if you do things for the right reasons. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. I think motivation is a lot more powerful, and motives are a lot more powerful if they're for the right reasons. We've seen so many people over the years, and I hate to say it, in the world of religion. You know, I use an example, one of the names that a lot of us will remember, Koresh, David Koresh. There's a prime example. In the name of religion, his motives, what were his motives? You know, that definitely went, you know, the wrong way, and he took a lot of people with him because he had the wrong motives. You know, going forward this week, I am going to try to do better at reaching out and finding out what makes me tick, what motivates me. Because I know there's a lot of situations I am involved in and walk away from that I could have done better. But the one thing you got to remember, if nothing else, if you're just need something simple to get you through the day and hopefully point you in the right direction, at least get you back on track. I think I've used this scripture before. This is one that kind of works for me if I'm having a day that, maybe I'm not being real Christian-like. Maybe I'm not doing the things I should do as a Christian. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I think if you follow Christ, the motives will fall into place. It's just keeping that other person out of your life, not letting him get that wedge in there, not letting him get you off track. This is hopefully one of those scriptures that will help you remember that as long as you got him, it should be all right. I thank you for your time this morning, as always. I appreciate it. I'm sure I got a lot more out of it this week than hopefully I gave something back, but it's always a pleasure. Again, it's just my opinion. Take it for what you will. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. If you would, please stand and sing. If you have any needs, please come forward at this time. Baptism behind us, as always.